Well, our scripture reading is from John 8, beginning at verse 31 to 47. The Gospel of John, chapter 8, beginning at verse 31. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed." These were some of the Jews that had seen some of the miracles, and then they did believe something about Jesus, but as we will see, that wasn't exactly enough. "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And they answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants, these same men that said they believed, and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free?" And Jesus answered them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, whosoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak what I have seen with my Father, and you do what you have seen with your father." They answered and said to him, "Abraham is our father." And Jesus said to them, "If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You do the deeds of your father." Then they said to him, "We are not born of fornication. We have one father, God." And Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God, nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears God's words, and therefore you do not hear, because you are not of God." That's far the reading of God's word. Dear congregation, beloved of our Lord Jesus Christ, who can we trust to tell us the truth in this new year, 2016? You're going to be hearing a lot of people talking to you in one way or another by TV or by internet or whatever means. And they're going to say to you, "Believe in me, for I'm telling you the truth." But who has the answers, the basic answers even to life? While we were teaching our English courses at the University in Mexico, you know, we put that question to the young people, and really they didn't have any clue as to why they were here or where they were going or what the purpose was for their life on earth. And there are a lot of people like that. Who is able to tell us the truth so that we can be free and not become enslaved to all kinds of wrong ideas that will do us great harm? Or an even more basic question for you young people: have you ever thought what it would be like to live in this world if no one knew what the truth was? And there are many who are saying that's true. There's no absolute truth. It's whatever you want to believe. You know, that's true for you, and that's the way it is. But we all see the devastation all around us of that kind of thinking. So this morning we can be very, very thankful that in spite of the many who are claiming to speak truth, that Jesus tells us here in John 8, if you abide in my word or remain in my word, if you continue to believe in my word, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So let's begin by considering what our text has to say about what is truth. What do we mean when we say that something is true or someone is speaking the truth? I mean, who made truth and where does it come from? And the simple and the profound answer is that the God of the Bible is the source of all truth, that he has revealed both in creation and in his word. And why is that? Because all that exists, God has made. In Genesis 1:31, after all the things he created, God said he looked at everything that he had made and he considered that it was very good. We would not know what truth is if God had not revealed that in both creation and in his word. So what is truth? The word itself means something that is complete, that is not lacking in anything. It's good and perfect and reliable and faithful and secure according to the perfect design of its architect and creator. So God alone is a source of all truth. All that he tells us is true. All that he has made is true. So, for example, the truth in mathematics. I think the children here this morning all know that 2 plus 2 is 4. And 5 plus 3 is 8. And so on. Our children learn the times tables because they are foundational to math and science. Without these basic laws, there would be total confusion. Imagine if 2 plus 2 was 4 today, but tomorrow it's 5. And yesterday it was 6. It would be total chaos. It would be a denial of the law and order that God has made in creation, which does not change. It is always true. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth, says Psalm 33, verse 6. And because of the consistent and unchanging truth in the order of the laws of creation, the scientists, for example, are able to make all these necessary math calculations, not only to send men to the moon, but to bring them back safely again. And the same is true for all that God has made, with everything that exists. The truth is whatever agrees with the perfect plan and the purpose which God has planned in his creation. He has revealed this to us in creation and in his word. And it's always faithful, it's always true, and it's always pleasant and good for us. Always, in everything that God has done. Because John 17:17 tells us that the word of God is the truth. And God's perfect word proves the truth by always fulfilling to perfection and completion everything that it has promised. And Jesus himself, we know that this word, the same word that created all things, was made flesh. And we beheld his glory, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus, who is the Word and who is the truth, created all the laws of creation, and that's why they're dependable and faithful. I am the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus says. God has revealed this truth to everyone in the world since creation. Since all of history, that truth of God's Word has gone out to the ends of the earth. This perfect, holy word of truth has gone to the ends of the earth today. And yet, by far the majority of the people on earth are not believing it. And that's why there are so many bad and horrible things happening everywhere. Because they do not believe in the one who is the truth. And that's what robs us of our freedom. Because of our sin in not believing the truth in everything. Because Romans 1, 20-24 tells us, since the creation of the world, God's visible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that he has made. God has revealed himself as the truth. But, continues Paul, although man knew the truth, they did not glorify him, and their foolish hearts became dark because they believed the lie of Satan. And that's what we see all around us. Take, for example, marriage. God has told us the truth that one man and one woman married to form a family, united by love to become one. And in this union, children are raised in love and are protected from so much evil if they are taught the truth of the Word of God. This is how they are being prepared for life, to live the truth as adults, to form a society living together in joyful and loving harmony. This is the truth of marriage and explains why the homosexual lifestyle is so evil, because it denies the truth. It is the lie of Satan to destroy the family and society, and it will bring God's judgment on the nations and the churches who choose to ridicule and reject the truth. As Romans 1, 26, 7 goes on, God gave them over to vile passions. Women exchanged their natural use for what is against nature, and men also with burning lust for one another, committing what is shameful. But that's only one truth that's being denied. Do you think the lie of evolution and the chaotic consequences of that, that human life is no longer considered as sacred, but it's like any other creature. So killing a dog or killing a human is the same thing. And so babies and even healthy adults are being cut to pieces so that their organs can be and tissues can be sold for money. If God is not our creator for all that exists, then no one has to give account to anyone. And that's Satan's lie. But these are not the only truths that are being denied. Jesus explains here in verse 34 that everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. And that includes all of us. We might not think of ourselves as perverts or murderers, but we're all sinners. Every transgression of the law is sin, of which we are guilty. And it's our sin that blinds us to the truth. In our pride and in our arrogance, we think we know the truth apart from God. All who do not trust the truth do not love the one who is the truth. And therefore, they prefer the lies of Satan. But there is no other choice. Either you believe one or the other. Something is either true or it is false. And the devil is a liar and there's no truth in him, Jesus explains to us in verse 44. And he explains what happened to the church of his day, the Jews of his day, in his passage. They believed their own lies. They said that they had never been enslaved to anyone as descendants of Abraham, but that was a lie because they had been slaves to the Egyptians. They had been slaves to the Babylonians. They were presently as slaves to the Romans at their time. And why were they in slavery? Because they had rejected the truth of the Word of God and they were worshiping other idols. They were physically slaves, but also spiritually they were slaves. And in verse 40, Jesus explains that now they are looking to kill him because they refuse to believe that Jesus was the promised Messiah and Savior as the Scriptures, as the truth, had foretold. They said they believed in Abraham, but that was a lie because Galatians 3:29 tells us that if you are Christ's, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. But Jesus says in verse 40, you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. So Jesus explains to them who they really are. You are of your father, the devil for not believing the truth. In verse 44, and because you do not accept my word. There are only two types of children on the face of the earth, the children of God and the children of the devil. So young people, listen, because the devil always wants to mislead you with his lies. And if you want to be free, then you have to take great care to trust in Jesus Christ, who is the truth and the only one who can set you free. So you will not be deceived by the lies of the devil. He is a liar from the very beginning, Jesus said. And he today also, he not only deceived Adam and Eve, but everyone since that time. And he always makes sin look so attractive. You just go into the history of the church in the Old Testament and the New Testament, for that matter. He makes it look so good. But he only wants to make you a slave to do evil things. And the most deceitful lie that he uses to deceive you is that if you do what he says, you will be free. But instead of being free, you will become a slave to do his evil works. He wants you to suffer the wrath of God in hell and the lake of fire with him. Because Jesus tells us the truth about hell in the parable of Lazarus and the rich man. You, I'm sure, know that. Where he was being tormented for the guilt of his own sin. And so it is for all those who refuse to believe the truth. And that's an eternity of infinite sadness and pain and anguish for those who refuse to flee to Christ and be pardoned and forgiven. Those who die in their sins will be enslaved forever in the most horrible slavery that you can imagine. So who then has the power to make us truly free? Who is able to free us from the power of sin and death and hell and transform us into children of God? Well, you know, it's the one who tells you the truth. And who is the truth? As Galatians 1:4 says, it's Jesus Christ who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God our Father. On the cross, Jesus took every possible sin and transgression that you can think of. He paid the price and suffered for adulterers, for homosexuals, for lesbians, for those who worshiped other gods, for murderers, for the abusers of children and of women, and all the evil and the hatred and all the rebellion and the horrible acts that men have committed. He died for all the sins of those who repent and have sought forgiveness in Christ. They're set free. He is a ransom that he has paid to set you free. But the unrepentant and those who refuse to confess their sins to Christ will die in their sin and suffer the appropriate punishment that God has foretold us here in the truth. But think of the price that Christ paid to make you free from the power of sin and death. And if you believe that, what does Jesus expect for what he has done for us? Well, he tells us here, again, verse 31 and 2, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Jesus wants us to rejoice in the freedom that he has bought for us on the cross. Jesus promised if we continue in his word, we will be his true disciples. And notice he calls them his true disciples, and the word indeed here in verse 31 means true or faithful. A true disciple is a faithful disciple of Christ. He is a true disciple because he remains and continues in the truth, and not as some who follow Jesus for a time, but then they say goodbye to him. They turn away from him. The true disciple continues to be steadfast in believing the truth of God's word. But now how does he do this? What enables a true disciple to be faithful to the Lord? Well, Jesus gives us an example in John 15 that's all familiar to you, I'm sure. I am the vine and you are the branches. Abide in me, remain in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Now, this simple example helps us to understand what it means to keep us faithful and remain in Christ. A branch connected to the vine has to be constantly connected to that vine in order to remain alive. I think your children understand that, right? If you cut a branch off a tree, it's going to die. This is how the branch receives strength and life from the vine. And so it is in our relationship with Christ. Our faith and our trust must remain in him in order for us to stay alive. If we're disconnected from Christ, we will die spiritually. It's not just enough to believe in him for a while. For the rest of our life on earth, we have to stay connected to him in order to remain alive spiritually. Jesus is a continuing source of our life. He enables us to live continually. We have been given eternal, ongoing life in him. But now, how do we stay connected to Jesus, who lives in heaven, and we're here on earth? We're not the authors of our life, nor can we keep ourselves alive. We cannot do it, but Jesus can. Not only did he come to this earth to free us from our slavery to sin, but he unites us to himself in a most intimate way to keep us free. He lives in us by his Holy Spirit, whom he and the Father has sent to us. As he says in John 14, 16, I will ask the Father that he may give you a comforter, and that word is paraclete, actually, that he may remain in you forever. He is the Spirit of truth, and you know him because he lives in you and will be in you. So now he is the Spirit of truth who is living in you. You have the truth living in you by way of the Holy Spirit. That word paraclete means one who stays at your side and never leaves you. He's constantly there. So now through the Holy Spirit, Jesus comes and he is always with us. He hears us when we pray, when we sing to him, while he is in heaven and you're on earth. Through the Holy Spirit, he is teaching you the truths of the Word of God, that we may delight in the freedom that we have in Christ. So then, finally, what is this freedom that believing in the truth gives us? Well, just to go back to Adam and Eve, they were truly free before their fall into sin because they were filled with the Holy Spirit and they knew the truth. They were able to enjoy everything that God had created and said. They were free to obey the will of the Lord perfectly because they had no sin. Without the deceitfulness of sin, they were completely free of knowing and doing the will of God. Now, 2 Corinthians 3:17 says that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There is freedom. So this is the freedom that we have now also been given. If the Lord, through the Holy Spirit, lives in you, then you're truly free. But it's a very special kind of freedom. It's not what you think, perhaps, that you might now live as you please. No, it's the opposite. Romans 6:18, you have been set free from sin and you have become slaves to righteousness. And verse 22 of Romans 6, you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God so that you may have fruit unto holiness. And the end, eternal life. So in a summary, What are we freed from? And what are we free to do? You're freed from the punishment of God and that indescribable suffering in hell because Jesus has paid the price to deliver you from the power of sin and the consequences of sin. And now you're no longer a slave to sin, but a slave to righteousness, a slave to God, to your Savior. You are free to lovingly obey your Lord who has died for you and your neighbor also. What the law calls you to do, you're now able to do. You are called to be holy as He is holy. You are free to do what the truth, Jesus, tells you to do. So young people, for example, if you love the Lord and you really want to serve Him, you want to keep yourself pure before the Lord. And if you're desiring to marry, then you need to seek a spouse also who loves the Lord and who wants to live pure before the Lord. And you want to live the truth of the Word of God. And then you can expect that the Lord will just pour out His blessing upon your life. You'll have a fruitful and wonderful, happy life because you're living the truth of the Word of God. The truth frees you from so much pain and anxiety that those who are disobedient to the truth of God's Word are suffering and will suffer because they're not obeying the truth. If you serve the Lord by living His revealed truth, the Holy Spirit is constantly there to help you and guide you. It's not in your own strength that you do this. And then every day becomes a new exciting day to discover the works of righteousness that the Lord has planned for you. You can only live one day at a time. But the Lord has a plan for you every day to do His will. And every day you will have the opportunity to love Him and to love and show compassion to the people around you that are in need, in your own home, your own family, your neighbors around you, in your church, but also everywhere. You have opportunity. You're free to go to those who are still enslaved in darkness of their own sin and tell them the good news of what Christ has the power and the authority to set them free from their bondage. And with the help of the Holy Spirit, your obedience to the Word will give you a freedom from every temptation that Satan will come to try and destroy you. And your heart will be filled with a joy and a peace for remaining and living in the truth. Freedom from sin means a life to enjoy all the fruits of the Holy Spirit. As Galatians 5:22, you're familiar with that. The fruit of love and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and humility and self-control, all of those things are yours. That is your freedom, true freedom. We're not followers of some god of stone like Buddha or an imaginary god or an idol like Allah. We serve the one true living God who has come with the Holy Spirit to live in us. We have a Savior and a King, Jesus Christ, who rules over all. And He is full of compassion and love for His true disciples that He has now sent into this evil world to show His love to those who are still enslaved in their sin. The church is the only hope that this world has in being faithful and showing who Christ is. And so many are enslaved to their sin and overwhelmed, being anxious, living in fear, with hearts full of pain and regret, having no hope because they believe the lies of the devil. And they're suffering the terrible consequences of not knowing the truth or rejecting the truth. And if you know of someone enslaved to sin, go to them. Tell them the good news that Jesus wants to set them free. Tell them what God has said in His Word, which is the truth, that says in 1 Timothy 2, verse 4, God desires that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of what? The truth. The truth that God wants all men to be saved, because to be saved means to be free. There is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all. Tell them that wonderful truth. Jesus wants you to know the wonder of his love and his true freedom that he has for you and the joy that is in him. He is the truth who has conquered sin, and he has made life beautiful again and perfect in so many ways in himself. And so you can be free. Instead of being a slave to sin, you're a slave to God and to righteousness and eternal life. If you believe that this morning, listen once again to what Jesus promises you here in verse 31 and 2. If you believe in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for telling us the truth. For telling us, Lord, about the victory of Christ over sin and death that enslaves mankind. Lord, to be constantly in fear of death and all the evil. But you, Lord, enable us to look beyond that, to see Christ Jesus seated on his throne, the one who is the truth. And if we believe what you say, Lord, then even our lives, although your children are so and most often very persecuted for their testimony, if we look over history, Lord, and that persecution could increase more and more as the time comes, Lord, for your return. It will increase. We know that from your word of truth. And yet, Lord, you can give your children such a peace and such a joy, because the peace that passes all understanding is not an earthly peace or joy, but it's a heavenly peace and joy that the Holy Spirit brings from heaven, so to speak, and pours it into our hearts, the confirmation that we belong to you. And so we don't have to fear being executed for loving you and being faithful to you, Lord, even though our flesh may crumble, our flesh is weak. But Lord, you're able to sustain each and every one of your children. We think of them, Lord, even right now as we sit here enjoying this peace and the liberty that we have even in this land for at least perhaps a little while. But in other lands, it's not true. Your children are violently persecuted. Their property, everything they lose, their life. Lord, we pray for them, especially this morning, that your truth, Lord, will be so very real to them of what you have said and promised them, that they are comforted in all their anxiety and fears that they may have, Lord. Will you take that away? Fill them, Lord, with the presence of your Holy Spirit, we pray. And for all of us, Lord, if we have fears, if there's things, Lord, that really overwhelm us, and it can be, Lord, it's true, we are so weak in ourselves. How we all need you, Lord, every day again, for every breath that we take, for every hour that we live. But, Lord, you have promised that you'll be with us and that your truth, only your truth, can set us free. Then, Lord, we pray for that. You pour out your Spirit and fill us, Lord, with the truth. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.